Greetings, beloved ones online, and those of you who are here as well. Last week, I spoke with those of you who are here about the Village of Light that's coming into being and that represents a new way of living upon the earth, a way that is based on the principles of light and also upon the life of the soul that lives in each one of us. And so today I want to take us another step in that direction through talking about joining together in light and what that means. Because the premise of being able to live as a soul on the earth is different than the premise we make about what it takes to live as a human person, an embodied person, to live on earth. To live as a soul on the earth means that in our actions, in our thoughts, in our feelings, we represent ourselves in terms of the life of our soul. And what that means is that we are experiencing life and each other and all around us as not separate from us. This is very different than the way we typically walk around as human beings. Typically and historically, we walk around with a sense of our own private domain, which we feel personal ownership of, a personal stewardship of, a personal protectiveness toward. And so we have a sense from our history of having a personal domain that is ours and a few people that we love who are within that domain and everyone else who's outside of it. But this, beloved ones, is not the life of the soul. This is the life of the history that we've lived on earth. And very much it's the life of our history influenced by the need to protect ourselves. So as we consider joining together in light, which means joining together from the place of the soul, we have to look at those barriers that we still hold in place to expanding ourselves in love. We have to look at those barriers and ask ourselves whether we're ready to take them down, not by ourselves, not through an act of will, yes, through an act of intention, our intention to take down the barriers to love, but also and primarily through allowing ourselves to become beings of light. Because the light of God, which is an energy that belongs to each one of us in our core being, the light of God is what takes down the barriers to love. The light of God is love, it is light, it is healing, and it allows us to become what we intend to be in terms of living the life of our soul. But we need to have an intention, because if we don't have an intention, then we drift almost automatically into living the life of the past rather than the life of the possible. The life of the past embeds us in the ways things have been, the ways we have been, the ways we've interacted with people and with the world. It embeds us in our personal history. So we have to choose which life we want to live. The life of the past or the life of the possible. The life of the possible is unknown in its beginnings and in its movement forward, because expansion proceeds not according to the known, but according to what has been dormant within us, hidden from our conscious awareness, that seeks greatly, greatly to expand and to be given expression and voice. The life of the soul seeks to become embodied on the physical plane. It seeks to become our life and our life with others. So what would this look like besides a concept and a principle? On the inner level, it looks like a willingness to become conscious of our habit patterns and a willingness to separate from them with the help of the energy of light. On the inner level, it looks like a willingness to release and let go of past identifications and identities. Because, why? Because we want to experience our own wholeness. Because our wholeness, our sense of being full, alive, vibrant, creative, and whole, lies in our becoming the possible. And on the outer level, it involves our expansion of our belief about our capacity to love. We have grown accustomed to narrowing our sphere of reference in terms of what we're capable of. We have become accustomed to thinking of ourselves as so much smaller than we actually are. So much smaller. And one of the ways this relates is we believe ourselves to not be capable of loving everyone. We feel, based on our history of self-protection, that we can only love certain people because of certain qualities that they have. We can only love certain people because they love us back. We can only love certain people because they believe the same things that we do. We can only love certain people because they haven't wounded us in a way that seems deep and painful. So we make exclusions. Exclusions. And every exclusion that we make limits our capacity to live as a soul. Every single exclusion closes our heart down and limits our capacity to do what we're hoping for, which is to become what we are capable of being, to live as a soul upon the earth. We can't do both. We can't make exclusions about love and arrive at the place of living in the fullness of our own being. Exclusiveness and the fullness of our soul are not compatible because our soul doesn't make those distinctions. So we have a prototype for this, a biblical instruction given from long time ago about loving one's enemies and doing good to those who hurt you. And we know from the biblical story that this was said at a time and in relation to events that were quite extreme. They were quite extreme at that time. But the biblical instruction is not relative. It's not relative to how extreme the events are of what causes us pain. It's comprehensive. We are asked to forgive those with whom we have discomfort, with whom we have difficulty, with whom we feel, especially in beginning, that we don't know where we stand. We don't know what our common ground is. We are asked to forgive without exception anyone with whom we feel a difference, anyone with whom we feel a judgment, anyone with whom we feel woundedness from the past. Because that's what our wholeness requires. And we have a choice to make about which is more important. To hold on to the things that we feel resentful, wounded, and hurt about, or to seek the possible of our own wholeness. When I say that we have a choice, I always mean we have a choice with God's light and God to do this. Because these things are not acts of will, these things are transformations that we need to go through. And in order to join together in a village of light, as souls on earth, as beings who are here to serve a common good, in order to join together, the same principles apply. We need to become capable of expanding our belief in our own capacity to love, because our beliefs about ourselves are far smaller than what's actually true. Each one of us, if we look into our hearts, may be able to find the holdout places where we allow distance, indifference, separateness, non-relatedness to come up in relation to others. And we give ourselves the reasons that I just mentioned earlier. Such and such a person is not like me. They don't hold the same beliefs that I do. This is the way they treated me in the past, and I can't forgive that. We hold beliefs about what the justifications are for the limitation of love and for closing our hearts. But these are beliefs. These are not the truth. These are not the values, the capacities of our soul. And so, in this moment of asking ourselves whether we wish to become the possible or whether to remain the past or the possible, we look at this decision in relation to everything. Everything, because the present and future of the possible is unknown. What is known is our intention to let go of the limiting beliefs that we've held. That's what's known. We know, we can know what our intention is, and we can ask for help with that intention if we are willing to be helped. But if we are holding on to the past beliefs and simultaneously saying, I wish to become what I'm capable of being, we're going in two opposite directions at the same time and limiting what can happen. So we have to see the holdout places, and we have to ask ourselves, how important is my own need to protect myself in this area? How important is it? How important is my fear that if I let go of this self-protection, something else that's unacceptable will happen? Because where fear is, and where we're holding on to that, the expansion and love cannot happen. It can't happen. Well, you get to see where you make these judgments. And for many of us, they're on subtle levels. They're not actually big events of being wounded, although those too can be included in the category of do good to those who have hurt you. We can deal with small events too. Somebody says something angry to us and we become defensive. Somebody says something indifferent to us. They don't hear what we're trying to say and we withdraw. So the ways in which we reject lovingness are many. And joining together with others in light involves, above all, the desire to live as a soul and to no longer justify our reasons for being separate. To no longer justify those reasons. In order to do this, we have to allow ourselves to ask for divine guidance and to become more conscious, because we are not used to being together with others in light. We have to learn how to do this. It's in us innately to know. It's in us because we exist as divine creations. It's in us to know. But we have to relearn as embodied beings how to do this. So we operate with a period, sometimes a very long period, of not knowing how. But we can always make the decision to ask for help to become more conscious, to release judgments, and to let go of the places where we have been unwilling to be forgiving. Maybe we're willing to let go. Maybe we're not willing to let go. But a step in this direction is to see where that unwillingness lies, and to know that we are defining ourselves in terms of the past and not in terms of the possible. This is not what God wishes for humanity. God wishes for human beings to become what is within them, what is within each of us. God wishes for you to become all that you're capable of being. God wishes that for each of you more than you wish it for yourself, because from a divine perspective, it's known what you're capable of becoming. But from the human perspective, you don't know what you're capable of becoming because it's gotten covered over. You just think that you are this, whatever feelings, whatever capacity, whatever limitations are happening in this day, in this time. So we ask deeply for our own perspective to be joined with the divine perspective, and at the same time, we make a conscious prayer to be shown how to release the past and to accept the possible with a willingness to engage with the unknown of who we are and what we could become, and a willingness to look honestly at the holdout areas where we are still embracing self-protection more than we're embracing love. Each of us gets to choose what we value the most. The first commandment says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." God is love. The first commandment instructs us to embrace love. But we, even if we hold that to be a powerful affirmation, we have many places where we forget to embrace love because other feelings crowd it out. So we get to choose. And in our choice, in our choosing, we begin to look in our choosing and in our asking for the place of truth in us, because it's only the place of truth that can reveal to us what we're capable of becoming. Only the place of truth. We can say things to ourselves. Yes, this is what I want. I believe in the oneness of all. I believe that love is most important. We can make affirmations like that. But the place of truth is beyond affirmation that can be put into words. It's the place of an inner knowing of the heart that says, this is what I value most in life. And so in order to make this transformation, the heart has to become more important than the mind. The heart has to say, I want to live. I want to live and have these values be made manifest, expressed. And the mind can have all kinds of reasons, all kinds of judgments about why that can't happen. And we can hear them and listen to the voice that says this can't be because I need to protect myself. And then we look at that and see what we're ready for. And this is how a new world gets born. Beloved ones, this is how a new world gets born, the microcosm of which we're calling the village of light. The macrocosm is the earth itself. The village of light is a microcosm of what the earth can become. But it can only become this by our joining together in light and by ridding ourselves of those limitations and beliefs that prevent us from living the truth of our wholeness. So whether we're speaking of the microcosm of a village or the macrocosm of the earth, we, each of us, need to see what we're ready to do. We want the world to be a world of peace. We want the world to be a world of love. But we need to be ready to be that. And in order to do that, we need to see where we're not willing to do that. It's not the world out there that we want to change and ourselves in here. It's that we are the world. We are what we're creating. We have to be, as it's been said of old, we have to be the change. And if we are holding out our hearts in an unwillingness to become the love of our souls. How can we ask the world to change when we're not ready to change with it, or in it, or for it? So the Village of Light is a prototype that represents the desires of the entire planet to live in peace and to live in love and to live without the fear that people have lived with historically. And anyone who is willing and able to join others in light on the level of the soul is part of that village, whether they're there in physical terms or not. Because what makes for that Village of Light is the capacity to no longer hold separation as valid, to no longer justify the holdout places of the heart. That's what creates the Village of Light. And the infrastructure of that village, the foundational level on the physical level, is also important, but it's not as important as the motivation of the heart which allows this to come into being for a village or for the earth. The motivation of the heart is what is key. And so I ask each of you to think, if you've been wishing for a more peaceful earth, for a more loving way of human beings to relate, what you are willing to do in yourself to allow that transformation to take place within you. Because the place to start, beloved ones, is in your own heart, and there is no other place to start. Actions are important, behavior is important, but without the motivation changing within your heart and within all of our hearts, the transformation that we seek can't happen. So I ask you to consider these things and to bless the earth with me as I say this prayer for all beings. May all beings desire love more than they desire judgment. May all beings value the possible more than they value the past. May all beings seek oneness and an end to separation, rather than relying on self-protection and fear as a way of life. May all beings come to recognize the truth of their own wholeness and the life of the soul of which each one is. May all come to know that the life of the soul is possible and is arriving on the earth, and we each have a choice to take part in it most fully. Amen.